Kaya Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
We shift to a very important part that we want to focus on, and that's Wills Week. This week, from the 13th of September, is officially Wills Week in South Africa, and really is aimed at making sure that as South Africans, there's heightened awareness and that we all actively participate in making sure that we have wills in order to bequeath our assets to individuals that we choose to nominate, our family, our loved ones, or even organizations that we care for. But how does this also correlate specifically when it comes to your property? And I say this because we're well aware that within the South African environment, specifically in our communities as Black South Africans, our homes, our family homes are very important assets to us, not for their monetary value, but because of the shelter they provide, the opportunity that they provide for loved ones to have a home that they can call their own as a unit. But if you have lots of children, if you have children who have their own children, and if you have an interesting shakeup in family dynamics, how then does one need to manage having the right will and implementing it accordingly? Well, to help us with this conversation, we're joined by Associate at STBB, Tholakele Mkhubata. Tholakele, thank you so much for your time.
Hi, Google. How are you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
I'm quite happy to have you with us, especially because you're helping us understand a very critical piece of paper that is a legal tender and an important tool, yes, right, in terms of wealth creation for South Africans.
Yes, that is very true. And, you know, it also touches on, you know, the whole topic of generational wealth as well. Mm. But, you know, today I'm here to speak about, you know, the importance of having a will as well as World Week. You know, so as a brief, you know, introduction, I just wanted to mention that, you know, the National World Week, which is being held during the first week or during the week of the 13th of September of 2021, you know, is an initiative that has been created by the Law Society of South Africa to increase awareness for the importance of having a valid will. And it also raises awareness around dealing with, you know, deceased estates. You know, World Week also affords South African law firms the opportunity to give back to South African society by providing free basic wills. And, you know, you and I know, and a lot of people know in South Africa, that not many have access to information regarding wills and how will can benefit loved ones and how one can deal with the winding up of an estate. Mm-hmm. And I believe that, you know, having something like the World Week assists people in being informed, assists them in deciding how to draft their wills and also specify what they want on their wills.
And maybe let's start there, as you say, very important points that you've mentioned up there, Tholakele. And I'm keen to actually start with the full and clear understanding of what constitutes a valid will. And I say this because we all have some family member who says, "Tengi will lapi clicks, sign it off, fill it in, and then get away."
Yeah.
And then it's valid. But it's not as simple as that, right?
Yes, it's not. So there are a few requirements that have to be met in order for a will to be required as a valid will. And, you know, first of all, in order for someone to draft a will, firstly, they have to be 16 years or older, in order for them to do so. They also need to be mentally capable to do so and must understand the consequences of having a will. The will also needs to meet certain requirements in terms of the drafting thereof and the signing of the will. For example, being that the testator must sign the will at the end. If there's more than one page on the will, then the testator must sign on each page of the will. The will must also be witnessed by two or more witnesses, competent witnesses, to ensure that it is valid. Further to that, a witness cannot be younger than 14 years old. So these are just a few important requirements in order for a will to be valid.
And that's important. I'm glad that you actually mentioned that, because so often we think that it's just basic paperwork or even having an oral conversation with your loved ones to say, "I lo muzlo," or "with me."
No, that's true. And that's why we say that it's important or it's safer for people to go to attorneys or financial institutions or trust companies because they have the necessary legal knowledge to ensure that, you know, these requirements are met for the protection, obviously, of the public and for the protection of the testator as well as the beneficiary.
I'm glad you mentioned that a will can never be oral. It does need to be a valid piece of paper, and that we need to actively, yes, seek out conversations with the professionals in this space. You yourself are one, sure, such professional, and I'm keen to understand how this ties into physical property or physical assets like property. Do we often find,
yes,
that people, leave property out on their wills or I guess how I should be asking this is rather, how do we emphasize the role, the function of our property when drafting our wills, actually?
So when you have immovable or movable property, and I think you're moving more towards the immovable property, if you have a house, it's very important that if you have a property in your name, to bequeath this property to someone in terms of a will, and to stipulate who you're bequeathing this property to. In order for us just to branch into the whole topic of what do you do if you do have a property and you don't have a will, we need to touch on, you know, the difference between testate and intestate succession and how that works. So, for example, if someone has a will, a valid will, that would mean that their estate falls within, you know, testate succession and is governed by the Wills and Successions Act. And if you have a property and you stipulate on your will that I want my property to go to Gubuletu, your will protects you in that sense. However, you have many people, unfortunately, and people that don't have access to knowledge, where they don't have will. Mm-hmm. And this person has a property or property, more than one property, and they die without a will. What happens to that property then? That will then form part of that person's intestate estate, meaning that the property will now fall within or must be dealt with by the laws of intestate succession. Now we have to go into that. What does that mean? Meaning that property must either go to the surviving spouse or to the children or to the parents or any relative within the bloodline of that family. And that's what would happen if you do not have a valid will that stipulates what to do with your said property.
And that's important, right? As you say, you need a valid will to stipulate what happens with your property and for clarity to be provided there. I'm keen to understand how this might be shaken up by marriages, separations, divorces, the kind of marital contract that one actually gets into, and if the world perhaps does not correlate or speak to that kind of marital contract. Is this where we often see disputes come about, perhaps between spouses?
I won't say that I've come across that, because it's very important for someone to update their will. If it so happens that you've drafted your will when you were unmarried at some point in time, and now you are now married, it's important for you to update your will, to stipulate that, okay, now you are no longer, you are now married, and this is how you want your property to be dealt with, and vice versa. So, yes, we do. You might have instances where, you know, someone dropped in a will while they were unmarried, and now the person has now married in community of property, and, you know, you have to deal with that marriage, and now there's a will that stipulates, you know, that the property must go to someone else. And that's where you have estate administrators now that have to go into it and decipher what could happen in terms of that. So that is why attorneys always stress that it's important that, you know, you update your will. If anything happens in regards to your property, if anything happens with regards to your marriage regime, you need to update that.
And that's important, right? And I'm keen to understand how critical this is, specifically when people are going through the process of getting divorced, through the process of separation, or even through the process of getting married, and then their wills aren't updated. What would override the other if there is, I guess, a case where that would take place?
So the last will and testament will precede, because, I mean, it is a document that stipulates how you wanted your will to deal with the said property. I mean, with freedom of testation, you also have responsibility when it comes to that. And that's why I was pointing out that it's important for you to ensure that you update that will. So unfortunately, the will proceed if it so happens that you divorce but you still have this will. The will obviously precede what had happened afterwards. And that's how we work.
Mm-hmm. Very important that you mention that, because I think so often we forget it, we take it for granted, and individuals, you know, just continue with life without understanding the consequences of these documents.
I mean, we are humans as well, so it's understandable.
Yes.
But, you know, with freedom comes responsibility as well.
Definitely. With freedom comes responsibility. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Tholakele Mogobata. She's an associate at STBB, and she's helping us understand the importance of wills. Today and this week, specifically in September, does mark National Wills Week. And we've taken this opportunity to really provide some clarity on the importance of wills as an asset, as a more than a piece of paper, really, but it really does help define how you transfer your generational wealth or your wealth that you've created to your loved ones, or maybe even institutions that you care about within your will. With Tholakele, we've already highlighted what makes or constitutes a legal will, makes it a valid contract, and of course also understanding the important elements as to how it does take care of all your assets under one particular document to make sure that it is available. Tholakele, something that's quite important, we've mentioned that one can speak to a financial planner, an attorney, even visiting their local bank that they have a bank account with to assist them with the will. And this raises an interesting element to make sure that there's the will is traceable, I guess, because when one does pass on, unless you actually have a death file or directives that you've shared with your remaining loved ones, we need to make sure that we're able to find the will, that it's accessible and that it's still valid, as you say. So how do we make sure that we protect this asset as a piece of paper that can be executed, I guess, and worked upon even after your passing?
So very important is safekeeping. Your will needs to be in a very safe and secure place. I know as attorneys, we keep our wills in a safe and at disclosure location, so that if something were to happen to any of our clients or someone who has passed away, we can obtain that will and deal with the estate in the relevant manner. So the main part is just to, if you have a safe, you can put it in a safe, or you can provide or give that will to your attorney to keep in their safekeeping to ensure that the will does not get lost. Because if that happens, then there's an entire process that needs to be followed should the original will not be found. And the only thing that is available is a copy of the will.
Really?
And that will obviously, yes, and that will raise a few issues. Just to elaborate on that, if you can't find or you can't trace the original will, because when you report a deceased estate, you have to provide the master with the original will. And if it so happens that the original will is not there, then you only have a copy. You have to make an application to the High Court and to declare that the deceased will, which was a copy, is valid. And obviously the High Court can't just accept any copy that is given to them. They need to receive certain facts. They need to be certain that the will that they are being provided with is the will of the deceased. Obviously, this also places large cost implications. Many of South Africans wouldn't be able to afford High Court costs in order for them to approach a High Court. So exactly, so it's a costly process. It's also a time process. So we always try to stress to clients that they need to keep their will safe, original will safe. I know as STB, the attorneys, we keep our wills with us, in safekeeping originals with us and record of all the wills that we do have to ensure that things like this do not happen, to protect our clients as far as possible.
Very important that you mention that, because as you say, we need to be able to trace it, because once we don't have the original, goodness, then that's where challenges do stem from. And I'm keen to understand this also then ties into identifying who the executor of your estate will be and how to appoint an executor. Writing the will is just one half of it, right? But one does need to appoint an executor.
Yes. So with the executor, in intestate succession, an executor would be someone that is nominated or appointed by the Master of the High Court. And the heirs of the estate could be nominated as the executor of the estate. It is important to note that an executor of the estate must be a spouse or child or parent of the deceased, and these people must be able to, you know, provide a bond of security. If not them, then this is where you get, again, your attorneys, for example, that come in and can be appointed as master's executors, who will be able to provide that bond of security. And just to go further and just explain maybe to the viewers that, or the listeners, sorry, that don't know what an executor does. So this person is given the power to deal with their estate and to ensure that their estate is distributed and divided according to the will. And this person has a responsibility to ensure that, you know, if they're creditors, that all these creditors are paid accordingly, and that all finances of the estate are in order before the master can relieve you from this duty as the executor. Because, I mean, being an executor is not just an easy task. You need to ensure that, you know, if your mother has appointed you as an executor in her estate, you need to make sure that you know, all her creditors are paid, or your siblings, for example, receive what's rightfully theirs. You might need something that is rightfully yours in terms of her estate. So it's a huge responsibility, and the master will obviously only relieve you of this duty once they are happy that everything has been followed, everyone has been paid, and now you can, if I can put it in simple terms, you know, close this file, and, you know, this person's estate has been finally dealt with in a complete manner.
Yeah. Last question, how do you select an executor?
So in a test date, you know, if you're someone that has a will, you can appoint anyone that you feel feel comfortable that can deal with your estate. So there's no set rules to say that, you know, you can't appoint your mother or your siblings or your friends. If you feel that someone is competent and this person will be able to deal with your estate accordingly, you may do so by stating so in your will that you're appointing X, Y as the executor of your estate, and you're giving them obviously the power to deal with your estate accordingly. This is obviously when you have a will. If you do not have a will, that's when, again, things get a bit messy, and the master would then appoint an executor, and, you know, it might not be what you would have wanted in terms of your estate.
Makes a lot of sense. Tolakile, you've really guided us in this conversation to understand the importance of a will, it being a very important documentation, making sure that you keep the original safe with the executor, with your attorneys, and of course, following through with the necessary procedure to make sure that one actually actively participates in getting a legal document together and updating it, because life does happen. Yes, we're human. Yes, we are. But it's important to make sure that you do have an updated will, and sharing that information with important loved ones to be mindful of it, as well as your executor. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Tolakile. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Google, and thank you everyone in house for listening in. And also, just remember, it's World Week. Take the opportunity to look into your estate, to ask the relevant questions. If you have property, have a will, protect your children, protect your family members, and yes, ensure that you have a will. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Wishing you a wonderful evening further. That's Associate at STBB, Tolakile Mkhubata.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi. Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.